episode number 30 of You Missed It. It's been a long time, and so I think we should just dive right in. I'm not the best at intros anyway, so we should just go right for it. Today we're here to talk about Avengers Endgame.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I'll murder you all.
Spoil the whole movie for Andrew.
Yeah, I will.
All sorts of Thanos'
think
Ant, butt.
You think Ant-Man up the butt is painful? You try my fist up your ass, goddamn. Oh. I will fuck you guys up.
Oh, you just wait.
I want to hear any of that shit.
You're going to hear all about the Endgame.
We're going to have some fist prolapse ASMR stuff.
Damn straight. You're just going to hear that. Yeah, that's right.
That's right.
Sounds... Zach, how big's your anus?
It's pretty big.
We're about to find out.
He talks out of it all the time.
I mean, it's got to be pretty big, right?
Okay, well, I brought that on myself, but now I'm not going to be able to get any of that out of my head. So since not everybody has actually seen Endgame yet, maybe we should save that for a different episode. Luckily, we did just watch Atlantis, The Lost Empire, a 2001 release from Disney that flew largely under the radar. So we'll just talk about that one instead. So this film was directed by Gary Truesdale and Kirk Wise, and the screenplay, apparently Joss Whedon was originally signed on to do the screenplay, but none of his actual work actually made it into the movie. The screenplay was written by Tab Murphy. The score was done by James Newton Howard, who has a couple things on his resume.
Just a little.
Just a few. The story is about an energetic young researcher who, inspired by the stories told to him by his grandfather, joins an expedition to find the lost city of Atlantis. That is... the Atlantis that is referred to in many fictional and pseudo-historical documents from the dating back to stories originating from ancient Greece written by Plato. There's quite a large cast to this movie and a pretty good roster of voice actors here. We have in the starring roles Michael J. Fox, Cree Summer, James Garner, and Leonard Nimoy. And in addition... the supporting characters, we have Don Novello, Phil Morris, Claudia Christian, Jacqueline Obrador, Florence Stanley, David Ogden Steers, John Mahoney, Corey Burton, and Jim Varney in his final role before his passing. He actually didn't get to live to see the finished movie, as this film was released in 2001 and he passed away the previous year. This movie was Disney's first foray into the animated sci-fi genre. It wouldn't be their last. Treasure Planet would come out the next year, but it would not be as good. I actually considered, that was one of the ones I considered doing above this one, actually, because I think that one's even lesser known. But having watched that, I'm like, yep, I think maybe Obscurity is, that one's okay. There, it has some good points, but this one has a lot more good points, I think. But before we dive in here, I'm just going to, I might as well shill the social medias. Let's do that before I forget. That was actually not what I was going to say, but let's do that. Now's a good point as any. You can check us out on Facebook. You can check us out on Twitter. You're probably listening to us on SoundCloud, iTunes, or Spotify. But if you're not, you can go check us out in any of those places.
Or Drop Dead.
Or look at our Instagram I was gonna say,
well,
but that's pretty harsh.
We missed something here, and there's the most important part of this, Jack's mailbox.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
You gotta send all your gifts, all your messages.
I would
to
think
Jack's
that
mailbox.
Would go without saying by now. The mailbox is always open.
That's right.
Love reading your letters and opening up your dead rats and, and Nazi flags.
It's gonna happen. And then I'm gonna mail it back to you, Zach. And you, Andrew, I'm going to cut up the rat in pieces so you each get a point of, like, my five revenge. You know, here you go.
And like in Avengers Endgame, you know, they actually mail Thanos a mean letter, and that's how they get to contact Thanos. That's what happens.
Well, and although the Nazi flags hang on to, you need something to wipe our asses with.
True. Oh. That's true.
You're turning away our white skinhead audience. You gotta stop. We need as many people as we can.
Right, I know. I guess I guess only like three people listen to the show, so I guess we gotta hang on to whoever we can get.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. In bringing it back around in terms of whatever we can get, this movie grossed about $186 million at the box office, $84 million of that being domestic. The budget was about $120 million, so not a stellar performance by Disney standards. In fact, they did have a park attractions planned for this movie that got canceled, as well as a TV series in the works that got canceled due to the lackluster returns. And instead, they took what had been developed so far in the TV show and turned it into a really shitty sequel, which they would release 2 years later.
What was that called?
Atlantis: Milo's Return. Yeah, you got it. Mm-hmm. And that's dog shit, and we don't need to see that or talk about that.
I saw it.
Yeah, I saw it too. That's what I'm saying. It doesn't need to be brought up again.
It just needs to be lost.
But this one deserves talking about, although it hasn't really been talked about. It has a 49% approval rating on Rotten Tomatoes, which was surprising to me. So don't think it's not a perfect movie, but I think it's a lot better than that. Got a handful of nominations for like smaller awards. The only award it has to its name is a Golden Reel Award for sound editing. Mm-hmm. And after that, it kind of just went away and nobody really talks about it. But I saw this movie originally when I was, it was 2001. So yeah, I would have been 9 at the time. And I saw it. I loved it. I watched it a few more times as a kid, and I think it still holds up pretty well. Now that I'm an adult, I still get a huge kick out of it. I really like it, and I think that's enough about what I have to say for right now. Let's hear from somebody else. As per tradition, we will go to my left. Zach, what'd you think?
I thought this movie was darn tootin', if I say so myself.
Rootin' and tootin', or just tootin'?
There's darn tootin'.
Darn tootin'.
Darn tootin'. Darn tootin'. There's tootin', rootin', and then there's darn tootin'.
Is darn or rootin' better?
I say darn tootin'.
Darn is better?
Just darn, you know, you get right in there. Rootin'.
All right, it's like, but you're setting roots down and then tootin'.
I mean, that's a whole different thing. If you're doing yard work, then you can be rootin' and tootin'. But if you're darn tootin', that's like kicking down the door and tootin'. Okay. A whole different
thing.
So
it's a higher level of praise then.
Pretty much.
Okay.
All right, we'll discuss the nuances of the tootin' scale at a different time.
Yeah. This also that ties into Avengers Endgame, but we'll let you figure it out.
So we lost like anybody who would be listening at this point. They just heard Endgame and they're like, oh, fuck this. And they're turning it off.
Spoilers the asshole. Podcast.
Spoilers. Avengers Endgame, spoilers. I thought this movie, because I had like heard the same things too, like at Rotten Tomatoes and things like that. It was kind of middle of the road. Some people liked it, some people didn't, and it just kind of bypassed me completely. I had never seen it before. Obviously heard lots about it, you know, over the years and things, but never really knew anything about it. And I was surprised actually how good this was compared to what I was expecting. Right,
this is your first time, right?
Yeah, it's my first time. Okay. My first time.
Okay. We're making a lot of motions, you know, everybody's looking at each other, we're all thinking the same thing. Just so you guys know.
I thought the animation was beautiful. And I really like the animation style. It's kind of like in that period where it's like they're kind of using computer graphics, at least it felt like up to that point, so things are getting a little more advanced, but at the same time it's still, I don't know, there's something about it that like flows really well. It's not overdone, it's just right.
It's very smooth. Yeah. Like, you can almost wonder if they rotoscoped a few things to...
Maybe, actually, because the parts that are CG don't usually stick out as being like, oh, God, like, they went for the lowest bidder on that one. Because this is only 2001. We're certainly not at the height of computer graphics.
No, but Disney, at that point, they had been using CGI or computer graphics in their traditional animated films all the way going back to, like, The Great Mouse Detective in, like, 1986. And Beauty and the Beast, the famous ballroom scenes, that's a computer-generated shot going from the crane shot, basically.
Yeah.
And since then, they've, you know, been refining it and making it top-notch. And yeah, no, I'll let you continue, but
No, not me continue.
Let
Zach
me
continue.
Continue.
Well, fine then.
But yeah, I thought the animation was beautiful, but I also thought like the characters and things in the movie were particularly a high point. Like I thought all the characters kind of had different personalities and
mm-hmm.
kind of stuck
yeah,
out.
Yeah, I love the supporting cast in this.
Yeah, they're awesome. And I was really surprised with the humor, how much humor there was in it and how much it landed. Like it consistently made me laugh throughout the whole movie. Like, there wasn't many times where it was like, oh, okay, that was like a throwaway. Like, I thought a lot of times it was actually quite funny. So I was very surprised by that. Outside of that, I mean, the story, I guess, it's kind of somewhat general. I mean, it's just they're going to find Atlantis, and this guy's really passionate about finding it and things like that. So the story is kind of general, but it's more about just the neat things that they come up with, like the imagination of, like, the different creatures and just the atmosphere. And, you know, once they get to the city, like, the culture and the people there and things like that, it's pretty pretty awesome once you get there and everything. So it's more really about just the characters and things like that, I think, that really, you know, make this darn tootin', as I said earlier.
Darn tootin'.
So darn yeah tootin'. I don't know, that's just kind of quick thoughts of what I thought of it overall. I thought it was quite entertaining and certainly better than a 49% I think on a Rotten Tomatoes, if we were even going to that scale.
Well, yeah, especially because, like, by the tomato meter, 60% is a pass.
Yeah.
So.
Exactly.
So, like, that's well below what's considered a fresh rating, but
it is
I
very
think it
middle
should definitely.
Of the road. I would say that usually, when I see a rating like that, I immediately think that movie is very polarizing.
Especially.
Like, there are people who are, like, you can usually tell it's a movie where there's people who love it and hate it, just because. To get that exact middle point, like around, it's always around the 40 something. It seems like there's people who are extreme on both ends, where they just love it or they hate it. So I like, whenever I see that, I'm like, I don't know, I could fall on either end. So it is worth, I always see that rating and think it might actually be worth seeing. Yeah. Or at least like digging deeper to see if that's how it actually is.
But then for even animated films, that's even kind of low, right? Like even for animated movies, I find they're
that's
a bit
true.
Higher.
They tend to.
So if you see like a 49, it's usually like not a great indicator.
Yeah,
I obviously guess you shouldn't just look at that. You know, in general, you know, you should kind of see it for yourself, but because I mean, there's obviously times where they get it wrong. It's just a bunch of people kind of saying like, oh, you know, I really loved it and stuff. And you could be one of those people, you know, who loves the movie. So
yeah.
But usually in that case, if you see it, it's like it could be kind of a warning, especially with animated films that are typically higher with critics and things.
When did Rotten Tomatoes launch?
Like 98 or something
yeah,
like that.
Was it 98?
Like
okay, because I was like,
wasn't really well known.
I felt
known,
like it was
though.
Like after this movie, but
no, it wasn't really well known though, right? It wouldn't become popular until years
for like another
yeah,
10 years.
It was part of that whole .com blow up
yeah.
at that time.
Yeah,
right.
Just, yeah, the boom, right?
So, yeah, I became more aware of like Rotten Tomatoes around like 2006, 2007.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
It gained traction in Steam.
Yeah.
And it's a Canadian, it was a Canadian .com, right?
I have no idea.
It might have been.
Canadian,
yeah, might have
I believe
been.
Like it originated as a Canadian company.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
Right? Enough about Rotten Tomatoes. So if I were to remake this movie, it'd be Atlanta, The Lost Empire.
Oh, Donald Glover in Atlanta, The Lost Empire.
And Nelly would be the king.
No.
And stuff. That would be great.
That's
cast.
Right. This is
great.
Atlantis, right?
Yeah, just imagine if it was just Atlanta and then it just like sinks into the sea and you're like, holy fuck, where did Atlanta go? That would be a great movie.
I love this.
I'm sorry, I'm losing out Andrews.
That'd be great.
That was too good.
What, this is Atlantis?
And like Donald Glover could play himself. He'd be like, I was on tour, my city's gone. And so then he goes and he tries to find Atlanta. It'd be great. And you could have like a Nelly soundtrack and stuff.
I think a Nelly soundtrack would fit in anywhere, so...
Yeah, and it's crazy.
Put that shit in Lord of the Rings, whatever, doesn't matter, man.
But
Nelly...
here's the kicker. Here's the kicker is that, see, Nelly's the king, right? But he's older, so he's got more Band-Aids.
Oh,
he's
man.
Got more Band-Aids that, like, covered his face.
So you think, like, every decade he gets another Band-Aid?
Pretty much.
Okay.
So he's the mummy in 20 years.
He's not just because they live for thousands of years, right? You know? So I just think that'd be great. Atlanta.
Yeah.
That's where Donald Glover needs to take the series. It just sinks.
Atlanta, the city, just,
just sinks perfectly right on the state line.
Damn, man.
Yeah, see, you'd watch it, right? I saw it.
I mean, I already want to see Atlanta,
the
but now, like, yeah, if it took that, if that was the twist.
Oh, man.
Hell yeah.
First day, pre-day, I'd bang on the doors to get in early.
All right. Well, before we start writing the reimagining, maybe we should hear what a few other people thought about it too. So, Andrew, it's all you.
This is one of those movies where I recognize it immediately. Like, I remember it's like one of those things that's in the back of your mind where you see images from the film or the cover or, you know, the ship, and you're like, oh, it just starts setting off flares in the back of your mind. You're like, I remember this.
Glowing blue lights.
I remember that. Yeah, the lights, all of that, right? That, like, domey thing at the front of the ship. I'm like, it's just bringing me back slowly. So I was like, did I see this movie? I think I've seen this movie. I can't tell. So then, like, the more I watched it, I'm like, I saw this movie. I was like, yeah, I saw this when I was here. Because I think I would have been, like, 8 or 9 or something, like 2001, right? So, yeah, I would have been, like, 8 or 9 around there. So, it was a long time ago. But, I remember you mentioned the McDonald's. I think that had a big thing to do with it because they had a massive marketing push at McDonald's. So I remember, like, all this. This movie was marketed pretty heavily, I think. That's what I remember most of all. Mm-hmm. It's just the marketing behind this movie.
Mm-hmm.
So
When the guy, the old eccentric dude at the who's funding the whole expedition near the start is just like, Atlantis is waiting. I remember that from the trailer.
Oh, damn. Yeah. I don't remember that.
Right.
But damn, yeah. I think I had some of the toys. Like, I bet if like somewhere in the abyss of old shit is some Atlantis McDonald's toy somewhere.
Maybe if you lose the toys, they return to Atlantis.
Or maybe they sunk down into garbage Atlantis. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, that one hurt Alex.
Alex, you're in
that
me breath. Now.
That's got, Alex taking it.
I got vocally fisted on that one.
Yeah. Brutal.
You got Thanos.
So it was interesting to I guess rewatch it just because it did feel like almost like a first viewing, but it was just as I was watching it, it was reminding me of what I'd already seen. So that was pretty cool. And I am watching it a significant amount of time later, which kind of changes the way I look at it. But I remember enjoying it when I was younger. I remember having a good time, but I guess it wasn't memorable enough that it stuck with me. Well, I guess in a sense it did, because like I said, I was remembering a lot of the stuff, so it was still there. So as for my opinion now that I've seen it as an adult so many years later, I think that I agree with a lot of the things Zach said. The cast was really strong. I liked all the side characters, all the supporting characters. They were really funny. They were voice acted really well. I laughed. The comedy was really great. It was spot on regularly. I especially like as soon as I saw that one character, the demolition character, everything he said, I remember loving it when I was younger because I got excited. Just right away, I got excited when I heard his voice. And I couldn't remember why. I was like it just all came back to me. It's like you're remembering a favorite character. That guy's awesome. I love it. I don't know why I just stick to one comedic character a lot of times. It's just when I watch something like Korg and Ragnarok or something, there's just one person that I just love. So that guy that was the character for me in this movie, but the rest of them were all really good. I like the performances. I thought visually, like you said, it looked really smooth and nice. It holds up today. I thought that the weak point of the film was the actual plot. Like it's pretty by the numbers. Like I just thought, oh yeah, gotta save the princess. He shouts it at the end. And I was like, all right, yeah.
Or die trying.
Let's save the princess.
That's a little bit of a
right? There were a couple moments like that. Like at the very beginning, I was like, there were little things where I don't remember seeing the movie at the beginning. So little things where I was kind of rolling my eyes, where I was like, oh, when he's giving the presentation, I'm like, oh, there's nobody there, right? Like I knew it right away. I was like, this is going to be kind of slapsticky comedy here. And, you know, it made me roll my eyes a couple times. But then that quickly went away, actually, which I appreciate it because I was a little worried there that it was going to stick around because, I didn't remember what it was I didn't remember how it went. So,
but they just do it to really to establish the character rather than the tone of the whole movie.
Yes, which I appreciate. I'm glad that they didn't continue that. That would have been pretty bad, just considering that the comedy actually ended up being really, really good. I think that's it. It was just the plot that kind of brought it down a little bit for me. I think 49% is pretty low. Yeah. I think higher than an 8 would be, you know, too much for me. It's not that great, but I think it's a good movie. Mm-hmm. Like, if I had to think of a fair Rotten Tomato meter score, it'd be like between 70 and 80 would be perfect. And I think it's really entertaining, definitely worth a watch. And it kind of got lost and became obscure over time. Like, nobody remembered it. Well, people haven't thought about it since it came out. And I think it's definitely worth being in your collection. So I think it's underrated for sure.
Yeah, it doesn't get held up to the same in the same light as most other Disney movies, even though we have the character of Kida, who is technically a Disney princess. She's not recognized in the lineup that's so heavily marketed.
That's a bummer, because she's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I think she's one of the more interesting ones, actually. There's one other thing I actually forgot to mention in regards to the characters. They were all kind of like stereotypes, which was something where I was like, the thing is, if the voice acting wasn't as good as it was, I wouldn't have been able to let it go as much. Mm. But like, you had the French small guy that likes to dig, oh, 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 oui, 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 oh, oh. Like, and I was really like, fuck, all right,
voulez-vous coucher avec moi ce soir?
Yeah, pretty much, that was the character. Yeah, and then you had like, she was like a Mexican teenager. She was like, oh, I'm this. She felt like a stereotype to me. And then the doctor, right? He seemed kind of stereotypical as well. They were like really playing to some stereotypes that I don't know. You didn't have to. It just looked like, hey, diversity in our casting here, because you had like, you know, a black guy, Mexican, the teenager there.
The black guy was half Native American too.
That's right.
Was he?
Yes, he was.
Yeah.
And the picture of his parents, his mom was.
All right. Yeah, there you go.
And he showed the, like, yeah, exactly, on his necklace.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
He's
a
healer.
Yeah. You're right. You're right. You had like the Texan guy. It just felt like they were checking boxes. They had the European, French guy. Luckily they were really solid, so I moved past it really quick. But I just wanted to point that out. Like, it stuck out like a sore thumb. I was like, damn, come on, man. You know, you can dial it back a little bit. You don't have to be so obvious about it. But yeah. Anyway.
Moving on to Alex.
So I had never heard of this movie. I had never seen it, because I'm not huge into the animated Disney movies for whatever reason, aside from The Black Cauldron, which is great, which you can hear me talking about in the archives of the show.
Yes.
But it was an enjoyable film for being an adult human being. I probably should have saw this when I was younger, but at that time I was in college, so I had other interests at that point. Movie-wise, I'm not talking in other senses. But it was a fun, enjoyable movie. The comedy was great, although I think with the pacing of the film, because it's so fast, this is what, an hour and 15, hour and 20?
Hour 36.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
All right. Well, to me, it still felt very fast. For those of you out there who are slow thinkers like me, you really got to sit down before the movie and gather your thoughts, because this goes... This is like the Philadelphia story that Ryland brought in, I don't know how many episodes ago. Like, the dialogue just goes. So you've got to be with it the whole time. I think there was a joke or two that could have benefited from a second or two of silence, because some of those joke punches really hit home when you give the audience a second to catch up, and then you hit them with it. That's something you learn when you listen to a lot of comedy. And I'm no comedian myself, but... I think for the most part, the comedy was great. It helped the story keep going. Mm. The plot itself, it was by the numbers. Yeah. It becomes an adventure. But when you first hear Michael J. Fox, when I first heard Michael J. Fox's voice, I'm like, I'm in. Let's go.
Yeah, he's a great voice.
Yes. He's a very recognizable voice.
Yeah.
Not just a Canadian icon. But when you see him, when I see him, I think of Back to the Future right away.
Yeah, I was going to say, did he say Doc at any point in this film?
I was waiting for that. I was waiting
because there's the doctor there, right? I can't remember. Yeah. Did he say Doc?
No, but that was the Frighteners.
Damn it.
I was waiting for a hey doc, or I was waiting for a fax that says you're fired. Never happened, but still. And Leonard Nimoy, I recognize his voice right away, because Leonard Nimoy, aside from seeing all the Star Trek movies in the 80s and the 90s, and before the J.J. Abrams reboot, I remember Leonard Nimoy voiced Galvatron in a little movie from 1986 called Transformers the Movie.
Oh, yeah.
Which was the first movie I ever saw in the theater.
Oh, damn.
Wow.
Which, strangely enough, a little bit of foreshadowing here, was the last thing that Orson Welles ever did.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so glad I got to hear the powerful voice of Orson Welles at such a young age, because it left an impression on me.
Oh, yeah.
And it will for the next episode as well.
I think he recorded that like 3 weeks before he died.
Less. It was like 4 or 5 days before he died.
Yeah, no, he finished it. And they didn't even know if they could use it because it was weak. You can hear his voice.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's actually an interview. Go a little sidebar. There's an interview with Orson Welles by like Merv Griffin or something like that that was recorded the night he died. Mm. So like he did the interview, and then like 2 hours later, he died of a heart attack. Mm. So you can just kind of hear it in his voice and all that. But it's fascinating.
Yeah, but they did a great job with what they did with his voice, because I couldn't hear anyone else voicing Unicron. You need a voice like that.
Oh, yeah.
But aside from that, I remember I recognized James Garner's voice almost right away. I thought maybe it's Gene Hackman with a bit more of a clear throat, but no, it was James Garner. And it was great. And I think the characters, they're a bit stereotypical. I think they could have benefited from a little bit more in terms of dialogue to flesh them out a little bit more. A little bit. But you got to move along with the story.
Yeah, so, this is an instance of having a lot to pack into that hour and a half, having a big ensemble cast. So, they do lean a little bit on those stereotypes in place of character development. But like Andrew was saying, with the, and I think we all seem to agree so far, the with the vocal performances that gave them a life and energy, it's like, okay, it's not, they could have done a whole lot worse.
Yeah. But then again, with the runtime, I imagine they had a limited budget, so they had to move it along quite quickly. So you can only get out so much in the way of dialogue, which reveals character. Like, jokes themselves can reveal little bits about characters and what they think and their personality and so on. Mm-hmm. The voice for Mrs. Packard, God, that's a great voice.
Yes, it is.
Almost everything she said was hilarious. Almost everything.
Yeah.
There was one time she spoke, and it was a serious moment, and it didn't fly. I understand they're trying to bring the audience back up at that point. They tried, but I don't think it worked. But for the most part, I love that character. I love that voice.
What's who's the voice actor?
For Mrs. Packard? Oh, it's Florence. Florence Stanley, yeah.
Is that the same voice actor as from Monsters, Inc.?
I don't think so. I think that didn't know. Brad Bird
they
do,
sound
do the
really
voice.
Similar, but it could just be that
no,
they're
the
like
one from,
doing a similar thing.
I think Roz was voiced by the director.
Yeah, I think that
right?
Yeah,
no, I think they're like similar, but I don't think
Wazowski.
Yeah. Always watch.
I mean, like obviously it's further than that, but it's like I don't know, it's kind of similar, so I wasn't sure, but whatever, it's probably not. Anyway,
but I'm glad you picked this movie. I had no idea what you were going to bring in, because yours is a little bit more varied than say mine or Zach's. We've established a kind of a theme with ours. A little bit. We can stray from the path. Like the last episode, I strayed from my path a little bit.
Yeah.
And I'm glad you brought us back on a more normal track, I guess. So thank you for that. It was a good pick. Even though being the old guy that I am, I like to watch the cartoons every once in a while. And this was a good one. Thank you.
Cool. All right. So the moving drawings hold up pretty well.
Yeah.
So, Jack, what do you think? You've seen this before.
I have seen this before. I saw this in the theaters when it was released. I remember, Andrew, you brought up the marketing for this movie, and I vividly remember.
Impression, right?
It did. I remember being psyched to see this movie because I remember seeing the trailer and being like, this is awesome. And I remember all the ads. I remember McDonald's toys. I had some of those. Like, this was like one of the first times, I think it's one of the first movies that I can recall, like as a kid, that being a trailer leaving an impression on me, like, I need to see this movie. And I did, like, and I just, a lot of things were coming back, and actually, the Mole's line where he goes like, this is so exciting and something like that. I actually remember that line kind of stuck with me throughout, like elementary school and high school. I actually would say that, and it's kind of drifted away. But once he started saying, I was like, oh fuck, I used to say that all the time. Like,
did you also have a goggles and a headlamp?
No, yeah. I would just say it.
You just
like,
turn into the Mole?
Yeah. But I would just go like, this is exciting. I don't know why. I just remember that. I'm like, oh yeah. So I did have those like nostalgic, like, you know, like, oh yeah.
Right, yeah.
Same with the trailer. I'm like, I remember that shot from the trailer. I remember that shot and all that. So it was kind of, I was like, all right. But I hadn't seen it in years. So it was cool to see this again. Everyone's kind of said what I like about the movie already. The voice acting, I think, is great. It's the reason to see the movie. It's the interaction with the characters, stereotypes they may be. At least they're not offensive.
Yeah.
It's done.
No.
Yeah.
It's just kind of there.
It's just more like, oh, okay. But at least it's not like it's just like, don't talk about it. It's like, oh, it's just there. At least they didn't make it offensive, per se.
Yeah, it's whatever.
It hasn't aged terribly. Yeah.
Although, it would have been cool if the black doctor had said, who wants a body massage? Well, from Fensler Films? No? No one? All right.
No.
Fuck y'all.
You're showing your age.
Well, the one thing they did do, but like, I don't know, it depends on your level of sensitivity for it, is like, oh, they did the whole white savior thing.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Of course. And
so they did the, like, because I rolled my eyes that whole moment where he's like, you need to save Atlantis now. It's like,
yeah,
you have all your people. You don't have anybody else you can think
but
of.
But he can read where they can't. So
that's also weirdly
I know.
But whatever. Yeah. It's like, it's you know, whatever. It's not a big deal. I'm not sensitive about that shit.
That's why you brought it up.
No, it made me roll my eyes. It just means where I'm like, okay, whatever. Yeah, of course.
Indiana Jones,
that's
Temple
what would
of
happen.
Doom is a white savior
exactly.
film.
Exactly.
So.
That one's way worse. Yeah? That's exactly what I was thinking of. Yeah. I was like, oh, if this were Indiana Jones, they would have been like,
that's
this belongs
one of the
in a museum or some
Temple
shit like
Doom,
that.
Though.
Yeah.
Yeah, so fuck that.
I'll go into further about why I think the rating it got on Rotten Tomatoes and all that. I'm not surprised it got that because of the anticipation for this movie. Build the marketing was for something epic and something like, I need to see this. And then when you see it and the plot and you're like, oh, that was it. You're like, okay. So I feel more of that is just the letdown. And you're like, oh, this is just in terms of the plot. I think what would have really helped this movie a ton in terms of keeping more of the, say, story intriguing and more helped with the adventure and mystery, if they cut out the opening prologue of seeing Atlantis getting destroyed. Because I feel like the movie starting out with them trying to find it and just seeing all these things, and you with the characters are discovering Atlantis, you're discovering everything, would have really helped the audience. So then when you first see Atlantis, you're like, holy shit, they found it. And you're like, wow. But the audience has already seen it. So therefore, there's no surprise. We know they're going to find Atlantis. You're just waiting until they get there.
Well, I mean, I think we know we're going to find it.
No,
like,
I know.
Anyways, given but the title. I think you do have a point, though. Especially seeing as they flash back to that scene in the middle of the movie anyways. It probably wasn't necessary to have it at the start. Yeah. So I kind of see what you mean by that.
Cut out the beginning, put it in that flashback.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It tells you. Yeah, they go back and exposit it anyways. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So,
I agree with that quite a bit, actually, just because like I also found that reveal when they show up and it's Atlantis was it had a fraction of the punch that it should have had. Like, it was like they even played the music. It even felt like the music they were playing was toned down, like, you know how they do the like the rising score or whatever. Even that was like didn't feel as epic as it should have been. It was like, oh, you already knew it existed down there, you saw it sink. So it's like, I feel like it could have gone. That's something it could have taken from like Indiana Jones or something Indiana Jones like Uncharted or something where they do storytelling like that where you come in like I think of like like Shangri-La or whatever, when they see that in like Uncharted or something, that yeah. where you work so hard to finally get there, and you get that satisfaction of seeing it, and it really is a wondrous moment.
Yeah, another movie that came out a year prior to Atlantis, not by Disney. It's another animated movie. It's called The Road to El Dorado.
And that's a good one.
That one kind of has the same thing, finding a lost city and all that, except that one,
it
doesn't do that. You actually, when they find El Dorado, you're like, holy shit. Yeah. And it really works.
I don't remember
the
movie that well.
Oh, that one is on
I've seen it once. I remember thinking, at the time. See, but that was years ago.
Yeah, no, it's...
that one's a little underrated, to be honest.
It's on my list. Wink, wink, nudge,
if you brought
nudge.
That in, I'd be so happy.
I own it, man. So
stay tuned for the next episode.
Yeah. I feel like that really could have made the plot less more palatable if they just cut out the opening prologue. I feel like that really did a disservice for the entire movie. And then the second thing is they really should have thought of something better than We Want Money, and that's the villain.
Yeah.
It's like it's a letdown. You're like, really, we're doing this? Are you serious?
Well, it's like a matinee, like, adventure.
It's one of those ones
you go to and you're Avatar. Like, oh, they're going to go steal the treasure.
Yeah, and it didn't feel earned. And then all the characters just switching just because he shamed them. It's like, it felt rushed. It felt forced. And I'm just like, okay, now we're just doing this movie. Instead of having it being what it should have been, which is an adventure through and through. Instead of it was adventure for the first act, and then the second act was just a muddled, gotta save the natives type of story from the
it was
evil
very
white. Yeah, exactly. It's
it was,
very.
It's been done in so many movies.
Oh, of course. Yeah. So
it was, the plot really does bring it down. So I'm not surprised this has got like a 49%, and why a lot of people feel like it was a bit of a disappointment, because it's kind of like, oh, the trailer was like hyping up, like, what is this world? What are they doing? This is fascinating. The animation and those moments that are really epic, that are truly like when she walks up to the on the water and walks up to that. I remember that in the trailer, really cool. And visually it's amazing when they're descending and when they all those stuff is great, but all the things, it's just the first five.
There's a lot of like nitpick things that like slowly bring it down a little bit.
Very much so.
Yeah, but I do think that still the cast and the voice
acting. It does. That's the thing.
The characters, the dialogue, all that stuff is really strong.
And without that, this movie would have been a complete bore.
Yeah, it would have been mediocre.
Yeah. So it's, you write good characters, they can really help the movie serve, even if it has a shitty plot. You're like, okay, at least I still want to see where this is going with the characters, because I enjoy them. They're hilarious. I do agree. I was surprised how much a lot of the comedy landed and still landed.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
It was really good. So I was like, more of that, please. More of the interactions with like I think what would have been more of like a proper like conflict would have been more of the disagreement between the Atlanteans and the new people, in terms of, it's basic. Just have it. Maybe you had like a rogue Atlantean who's not trusting these people, and causes conflict, because obviously they want to help them. They're, they're dying, or the world is slowly fading away. Mm-hmm. So, it's for survival, but they kind of get rid of that whole urgency right away to be like, oh no, they're taking away our money and they're taking away our power source. Yeah. Let's get it.
The
Atlanteans are like totally on board with absolutely everything. I love how they don't consider the actual people. Mm-hmm. Like, you could think all of Atlantis is just like the two of them, the royal family, and that's it.
It's really a MacGuffin.
The rest of them are just background. Yeah. And then they're all like, yeah, go save Atlantis.
And
you're like, what?
You don't like that. Yeah. It's just like, okay.
Wouldn't they be fearful of outsiders and not trust them at all?
Yeah.
They're a hidden city.
Yeah,
oh, and they had planes.
That would
have come helpful.
Yeah, whatever. Like, again, I can let it go. Like,
yeah.
Whatever.
So, but yeah, no, I just feel like it was in hindsight, it was a real missed opportunity of like they had. The fact that they were planning rides like in Disneyland, it makes sense because it's there. They had the designs, they had the world, they had everything.
Well, yeah, they went into pre-production, they went into a lot of effort, like with the world building. And so I think they could have like spent a little more time actually exploring the world once we got there, because we don't actually you get there and the story just kind of keeps going. It doesn't really give you a whole lot of time to stop and look around and like learn a little bit more about the land, its people, the culture that's been lost, and kind of how the people who are currently still here are trying to uphold it. Like, it's touched upon, but it's not not really delved into, which kind of like what Jackie were saying, that could be a lot more fascinating, because especially for the king, the character played by Leonard Nimoy, like that's his big fear, is trying desperately to preserve this way of life that we later find out he kind of had a hand in sending down the tubes, but at the same time, like, yeah, you have these visitors who might actually be able to give you some new insight, but do you trust them? Like, you have no basis, you have no foundation. Yeah, it could have been a lot more it could have been a lot more interesting if truly all the characters had come in with peaceful intentions, but from the tension and distrust, the conflict arose from that, rather than the guys having the plan to steal the orb and make the Daleks.
Should have been more like this is one way I can kind of sum it up, is that this movie should have been more like an Indiana Jones movie instead of a Roland Emmerich film.
It belongs in a museum.
Yeah.
It is the lead character looks like a Roland Emmerich lead character. Think about it. He looks like Jeff Goldblum. He looks like James Spader. He looks like every character. The big glasses, the nerdy, out of his element, and then he has to rise up and actually take charge, and he's the hero of the day. That it's a fucking Roland Emmerich film animated.
I was gonna bring up Stargate for that.
It is, it's Stargate. Yeah. It's Independence Day. Even Godzilla with Matthew Broderick. It's the same character stereotype. He's a stereotype as well.
Jack, I agree. Do you remember when we watched Stargate, Jack?
That was dull as shit.
Oh, Stargate. Yeah.
Well, and honestly, to your point, Rylan, I do. That was actually some of the best stuff that they had, was when they were actually exploring Atlantis and its history and stuff, like when they were swimming.
Yeah, you
and
only get a couple minutes of that's it.
They were super compelling, but then they just move on too quickly. You're right. Like, that was the best stuff. If they had stuck to that, it would have been awesome. I would have been way into that. And
it kind of gets you like a little bit more kind of invested in this world. You care about this world and you want to save it along with its characters, but it's kind of just like,
because
okay, no, we're here.
Cool,
we're here, and now we're here, and now we're going over here, and now we're doing this, and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. But I also do appreciate that they didn't do that whole belongs in a museum thing. Like, they did the opposite of that. They were like, oh no, like, we have to preserve like a way of life, like forgetting it is. That's pretty cool, because, I guess it's in the 2000s, so it's not quite, in that movie making era where they just didn't give a shit about any of that stuff, about preserving anything. They're like, no, fuck it. It's find it, it's yours, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I appreciate that it's like, it's not doing that. So
yeah,
I didn't mind that.
Yeah, but
so not like an Indiana Jones movie in that regard.
Yes,
but in other regard, I see what you mean. Otherwise.
Yeah, in terms of a plot, in terms of getting from A to Z, terms of an adventure,
it could have been a perfect Indiana Jones style adventure movie.
Yeah, in terms of just discovering more and more, getting deeper into the the history, into what they're looking at, and then realizing it's we need to actually scale back, because if we keep going, it's going to fuck everything up. Mm-hmm. Like all Indiana Jones films or all adventure films, they realize. The Mummy even as well, those the Brendan Fraser ones, it was kind of like, we got to scale back a bit, otherwise the whole world's gonna end. And that's kind of what this movie is about too, like, hey, take it away, the whole thing's gonna blow up. You know it becomes like the ticking bomb plot or anything like that. And then the whole Disney just does this all the fucking time with the reveal of the villain two-thirds through the movie, and then you have to go, oh, now he's a bad guy. Frozen comes to mind as well, in terms of that trope, and it's just it needs to die.
The one thing I do think that was kind of cool about that, though, is that, like, for a moment, or at least at a period, like when he comes out of the water, it's like the whole group is kind of like armed, and it's like, oh, that's kind of cool. Like, they're all kind of villains, but then as you wait a little bit or whatever, they kind of all have a change of heart, which. It's like, okay.
Took 30 seconds to change their minds.
Not a long time, that kind of sucked, like, but just the initial thing of like, oh, fuck, they're all in on this. They're all down to just, like, fuck off with like a bunch of money and shit.
Like, and then, and then like 3 minutes later, it's like,
but yeah,
it's like,
no, this is
immoral. It's like, it calls for a, you know, that, from when I showed you all of the other Reindeer, the we're not so bad song sequence.
That's right, actually. It
needs one of those.
Yeah, but I don't know. Overall, I think it's, you know, it's a good like movie to watch with your family. It's a fun adventure film. It's nothing like, I would say, horrible about it. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think it's just a missed opportunity. Mm-hmm. I think it
could have been better.
It could have been like an epic. You
like
go
some
back.
Wasted potential. Is
exactly.
What
you're saying. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's very like, it's there. You had the foundation. You had the animation. You had everything there. It's just they just needed a better story. They needed a better plot.
Yeah,
I can agree with that.
That's really my only issue with it, if I were to sum it up. So yeah.
And the other main criticism of this movie is that the plot is not necessarily rooted in the aspects that it should be ideally. And another one, main one, is that it didn't have a clearly defined target audience. Because a lot of the marketing was, when you have Happy Meal toys, it's safe to say that you're shooting for that audience of little kids. But it's a PG movie. Like, there's nothing like horrible in it. But like a lot of people die. Like, you don't see a lot of it happen. But the body count in this movie is pretty extensive.
200 and over.
And
the
dialogue, like a lot of the dialogue and some of the jokes, it's like kids wouldn't fucking like. I don't remember getting those jokes. Like, there are some of them where it's like, this isn't a joke for kids at all. Like, kids wouldn't even laugh at this just because it's clearly for adults. Mm-hmm. But, you know, kids are watching the movie. I don't know. Happy Meal toys.
it's the pace.
That's all I remember is Happy Meal toys.
Yeah, they just want to see cartoons and people talking fast, and they're
that's
happy.
Right. Yeah. Maybe that's why I like that guy with the funny voice, but I still like him. So.
I know why it's rated
PG. I like
PG.
Dynamite and a 3-stick.
Oh, fun fact about him. Apparently, all of his lines were improvised.
I love it.
Like,
love it.
Apparently, none of the dialogue that actually made it into the movie was scripted.
I love it. Perfect. That guy is amazing. He should be in shit.
Yeah.
Goddamn.
It's like he had lines written and like they would do takes with the lines, but then he would just like go with it. And
he
so apparently the final cut is just all his own stuff.
Yes.
Hey, if it works, it works.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that.
I know why the film was rated PG. Because no kid without the supervision of a parent should ever see chiropractic being performed.
Oh.
Yeah, I only thought of, I was like, is this why Jack thinks he's a doctor?
No.
Like, that's a great
You know
point.
What? Like, he's like, no. I'll crack your back. I'll make you feel better. It's like, dude, that's not.
And the guy was
it's,
like
it's
the
not
big
like
guy,
the movie.
Like
you can't
the
just.
Tall guy in the group.
Yeah,
stuff.
He was
like,
yeah.
I know, you can't just like fling someone's neck around because like that's how you break things.
Yeah. And you know what? He was impressionable as a kid, and look what impression it left.
I can
took that for the movie.
You know what's funny though? I do know where the impression of like cracking bones or knuckle cracking or chiropractic stuff that came from football, not from Atlantis. I know that
bullshit. It was
yeah,
the scenes were set
Atlantis.
Early.
No, well, just because in football you are worked on a lot to make sure you are healed and you know the best shape you can to play the sport. So, and some of my height, I had a lot of back issues, so I visited regularly a chiropractor, and also my buddies would crack their knuckles, and I'm like monkey see, monkey do, and. So yeah, I know for a fact that definitely didn't leave an impression, so I'm putting a pin on that.
What did leave an impression though is when they sent a chiropractor to Thanos in Avengers Endgame to get his back fixed in exchange for the Infinity Stones.
That
will work.
Right? Yeah. Isn't that how it is? He's on a farm now, so it hurts your back doing that kind of work. So
yeah, exactly.
Just gotta go for the head, man.
Yeah, I gotta go for the head.
See, Atlantis, I'm telling you, he denies it, but
yeah, I don't like that a lot.
I'll give you a adjustment after this at podcast.
No thanks. Didn't you learn your lesson?
I never
did. Didn't you learn your lesson, Jack? That's not real. This is, you rewatch it and as an adult. Learn your lesson.
Yeah. It's like here we go. Oh.
Gonna kill someone.
It just picks him up by the neck. That's how it works, right?
Yeah.
You just twitch.
Yeah, you just crack it in two directions, and you're good to go.
Good to go.
When they stop moving, it's worked.
Yeah, like Frankenstein.
When the lights stop working, it's been effective.
Yeah. Oh, what's that Aussie film with the guy, the horror one where the guy sticks the knife in the back and he twists it?
There's like every horror movie.
No, an Aussie
you
one.
You know the horror movie where the knife goes in?
No, it's an Australian horror film where there's a scene where like the guy's behind in the backseat of the truck and he stabs the woman in the back and then twists the knife to paralyze her. And then
No. This is not in a truck. You're talking about Wolf Creek.
Yes.
Wolf Creek, that is in a shed.
Okay.
A barn. I don't know where you get the truck idea. It's like a head on a stick.
Yeah.
Basically, he does that all day. It's a really good movie. Wolf Creek, solid. Underrated movie.
I think that was on like Bravo's top 100, so that's why.
Yeah, it's creepy. Yeah, because he stabs her in like the right place or whatever where she's completely paralyzed, but she's still alive, and it's like you're just like a head on a stick. Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah. Damn. Creepy old man.
That doesn't sound like a kid's movie.
Yeah. No.
Oh, I'd like to see that animated in the world of Atlantis. I'd like to see like Wolf Creek mash up with Atlantis. That could be another movie. Mm-hmm. I could see this franchise going far.
They also
search for Atlanta. Yeah. You know?
By the way, another thing that they could have helped with like hating the villain is like, why didn't he kill the grandpa? That would have made sense. Would have added a little bit more.
he did like smack him around and like steal his chair and shit. You know, he's pretty evil. That's pretty evil.
Steal his chair. That's what old people care about is their chairs.
Dude, think about it. If grandma or grandpa's on a chair and you fucking kick their ass out of their like love seat chair and you sit in, you're fucking evil, man. You're an asshole.
That's crossing the line.
So I'm telling you, that's a villain move.
What the hell you think you're doing, goddamn?
That's right. That's
Well, you just wait until Avengers Endgame and Thanos steals the chairs in the Avengers building.
But the one chair he does sit on has Ant-Man in it.
Oh. Yes. He goes what crawling. Next? Yeah.
Goes up the urethra.
That wasn't the entrance.
I thought the ass was darker,
like, man. Come on.
That's where everyone goes.
We're talking about the director's cut.
Okay. This is the R-rated director's cut.
This is the War and Peace version. This is the 13-hour cut.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, because I was going to say, PG-13's gotten real lax
nowadays.
That'll
be what's coming next, though, is the supercut, where it's all four movies cut together.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, there you go.
That would take forever.
Well, I mean, at least like Infinity War in that one. That makes sense.
I think
Infinity War will be better once you put it with.
Oh, absolutely.
Back to back.
I think it's still
solid.
Like good on its own, but yeah, I don't know.
You'll see
the other one, but like I'd assume so.
Once you see all that butt action.
Yeah.
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 Topher Grace, we got a job for you.
Yeah.
I know that. That's pretty good. You don't get it, Andrew, do you? Okay.
Oh, yes. Yes. Didn't Topher Grace work really long on cutting... what was it? I'm remembering. I see all this story. He was talking about... He did it around the time of Black Klansman. It was like right before. Oh, fucking Star Wars. Damn. He put all... Yeah, he did his own cut of Star Wars together, all the prequels. Yeah.
Did he not do The Hobbit as well?
He did.
Yeah,
that was the one that I... Yeah.
I actually forgot about The Hobbit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man, that guy's such a nerd.
I mean, that
nerd.
Trilogy that
he's
should
a national
have been
treasure,
one and a half
man.
Movies.
He's a nerd and a white supremacist?
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. The white supremacist, sorry?
Yeah.
Duke.
Yeah. He's like, it brought me to a dark place, so I decided. That's what it was. He's like, yeah, that's how it related to Black Klansman.
Yes.
It's like he needed a break from going to such a dark place, so he cut the Star Wars prequels together.
Yeah.
And made a cool cut. Yeah, right. That was like to kind of get his mind out of the gutter, pretty much.
Oh, that's a good exercise.
Productive outlet.
Yeah. All right.
Another cool fact I found while reading about this movie is that the Atlantean language was written by Mark Okrand, who, along with, I suppose, having Leonard Nimoy appear in this movie is another little throwback there. But Mark Okrand also wrote the Klingon and Vulcan languages in the Star Trek series.
Nice.
Cool.
It's pretty cool.
Nerd!
Got some legit stuff going on.
Revenge of the Nerds throwback.
Another few movies we can bring in.
The only thing I remember is the sequel, the beginning of the sequel, where the big guy, he's in the back shot, and he's just standing in front of the toilet, and it's just a 2-minute scene of him there. That's all I remember about that movie.
They're so ridiculous.
But they're fun.
But they're fun. Yeah. You know.
But it's not Atlantis or Atlanta.
Atlanta.
Atlanta, yeah, Atlanta, the Lost Empire.
Man, that needs to happen. Well, Empire is a show too, isn't it? So yep. If we yeah, lost that
it's
Empire.
Not Lost. Oh, that's true. Just call it Lost Empire.
Lost Empire.
I still like the Atlanta version. I like the Atlanta thing. You just you make a complete spin to be like when, modern remake
Lost
thing.
Empire...
It's like, oh, the twist is it's a different city, so therefore a different vibe and all that. It's a new movie.
So would Lost Empire just be that one cast member that like faked a hate crime get sinks the show? Is that the plot?
There you go. There you go.
Well, you know
that
what
guy's name again?
Jesse something.
Oh, Jesse Smollett.
Smollett. Yeah.
Yeah. Jesus. Yeah. That.
Well,
dude,
you can tell by the last.
That asshole.
Alone.
Well, still a better sequel than the actual Atlantis sequel, so we'll accept it.
Damn.
Well,
I
like all
the sequel, man. Well, I gotta know how bad this is.
Well, no, because the sequel is composed of whatever they had ready for the TV show. So it's one of those movies that's basically just like three like short stories
on...
that are completely unrelated to one another. Just kind of
okay.
it's like a really shitty like. 3-episode anthology basically. Oh, okay. And like none of the stories are very good, and I don't remember anything about what intro or like thing overarching thing they had to
like
tie
plot,
it back
like,
together, but
not at all memorable. Well,
oh no,
I mean
no, it was I was 11 or 12 when I saw it, and like
it's
even
like,
at that age I'm just like, wow, that was stupid.
It's like Lion King 2 or 1.5 or something where you're like,
Lion King 1 they have right there.
1.5, yeah.
Yeah, it was fucking Jesus. So why
because it's fun to watch.
Yeah, just remake it like 20 years later or whatever and put Donald Glover in it. There
it's,
you go.
It's also hey, Lion King 1 half is also half movie and half interactive experience, man. Because you
it was. Oh shit, was it like a choose your own adventure thing? Like
it had a point and click option.
Like menu shit where you could like,
a little bit. And then it also had the whole movie is basically find the hidden Mickeys, the entire
what?
movie. Yeah, in
they're hitting Mickeys in Lion King.
In that 1.5, yeah. There
That's
are hidden Mickeys
is.
In every single frame. It's try and find it.
Like, what kind of Mickey? Like
Mickey
a
Mouse.
Mickey that would fit in or regular ass Mickey Mouse?
Just like it's the famous.
Just like the three
silhouette,
circle
the three circles.
Outline, basically.
Oh, okay, thank you. I thought you were literally putting like the mouse, like Mickey Mouse
no.
in the background. It's like,
that's actually.
What
no.
the
yeah.
fuck?
Just this,
yeah.
the shape, so it could be like a
oh,
rock mm-hmm. or a shadow
yeah.
or.
It's actually. That's actually. Pretty
yeah, he's just, yeah, that's what I said. Like, fire Mickey yeah. Mouse. I'm like, he was just in the background.
Yeah.
Hi guys, I'm like, holy shit!
Oh, oh boy, there, Pluto.
And he's drinking a Mickey too.
Mickey of the Mickey.
Fuck off, Pluto. Let me drink.
Jesus. Oh, like,
and
oh
my god,
what are you
just hanging out?
And the house lady from Black Christmas who was always drunk.
Oh, yeah. Why not?
It's great.
This is Atlantis. Yeah. This is Atlantis.
Out of curiosity, did anyone actually watch, like, because in the 90s, they did make, like, animated series based off the popular Disney movies,
yeah.
like Aladdin.
Yeah.
Hercules had one.
Yeah.
Tarzan had one.
Yeah.
Did anyone actually watch those?
A little bit.
I watched
I feel like
show. I watched the Buzz Lightyear
Hercules,
Buzz Lightyear Star Command too.
Oh,
I watched
that, the animated one. That shit
yeah.
was actually kind of good though.
Yeah.
I
thought it was good.
Wow.
It had a movie too, right?
I watched all of them.
It had a movie. I saw the movie. The movie's not bad.
I saw Hercules.
I don't remember
theaters.
Anything about the movie.
I did too.
Damn,
yeah.
man. It was actually, I don't know. Maybe I just love Toy Story, but that shit.
I saw the one you're talking about.
Yeah, it's not obviously it's not Toy Story levels of quality, but like it's like a Saturday morning cartoon kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's not bad.
Yeah, no, I have sadly,
yeah, I saw that.
I've sadly seen way too many Disney direct to DVD sequels and their series adaptations as well. Just so yeah, the Atlantis sequel. Oh, it's one of the better ones out of
really.
That's like saying, you know, smells worse than that shit.
That's,
that one's just a little
be good
better.
Ones, though, like there have to have been ones that were actually not bad.
Yeah, like the
there
Aladdin
were no,
there sequels
no,
were bad. Right?
They were bad.
Yeah, I thought Prince of Thieves was supposed to be.
That's
good.
Actually
oh, that
what actually sorry,
I haven't seen it.
Sorry,
Return
actually,
of Return of Jafar is garbage.
That one I watched actually the third one. That actually is pretty good. I remember that one vividly. I remember the gold fucking hand.
Yes.
And
did that
it's
one
with
get a theatrical release?
No.
No.
Only one did, and I sadly saw it also in theaters, which was Return to Neverland.
Right.
It was not. opens with World War One or World War Two bomb raids, and they got to stay underneath ground.
You know, for kids,
it's terrible. Yeah, I'm trying to think what was an actual good direct to DVD sequel.
Beauty and the Beast.
No, those are the worst ones.
Oh, the midquels. Oh no.
I've seen those.
The Hunchback of Notre Dame. Oh, actually, one of the Lady and the Tramp ones, which was followed like the young pup of like Lady and Tramp and all that. I remember that too. Oh God. I had such a horrible childhood.
Permeated with horrible cash grab films.
Actually, I think the first Lion King 2 is actually probably one of the better ones. Because I remember some of the songs. I remember We Are One, something like that. And then it was a retelling of like Romeo and Juliet.
Okay. So they kill themselves at the end?
Almost. It's like the son of Simba and Nala, and then the daughter of Simba and Nala, and then cousin of Scar. Or the younger.
Yeah. This is ringing a bell.
And they hate each other. Right, so the naturally. Families do, but they
I might have seen that.
Yeah, I think I've seen this. I've seen that.
Yeah.
I don't remember it at all.
Oh, yeah, no, it's one of the better ones.
Yeah, but because the first Lion King is like a retelling of Hamlet, but like, it's a little bit more subtle than this one, than this one is. They really kind of.
Yeah, and the animation was a bit better too, because that was the one thing is like. With the earlier or even most of the Disney sequels is that the animation was just dog shit. Compared, it was like, oh, that's like going from like Disney to Hanna-Barbera. It's just really bad at times.
That allegory though. Yeah, well, it's because like, well, it's not going to theaters, we don't have to try. Well, then don't fucking make it at all.
Just don't make it at all. Save the money and go to Chipotle.
Well, actually, the failure of The Rescuers Down Under is the reason why they released in the DVD, because they're like, well, sequels aren't profitable. So
which is a shame. It's a bummer because I like
Rescuers. No, I know. That's the thing.
Yeah. No, that one was good. Check out that episode if you haven't already.
Yeah.
I'm still going to see the first one.
It's not as good as the
Exactly.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah.
But that's crazy.
It's more creepy and kind of gothic.
I kind of like that. I mean,
it's like the only.
I don't think you'll like it more.
No, it's not. I doubt it,
but just the way you describe it, like, yeah, it's gothic and creepy.
There's a little girl who has like this jewel that's in the eye of a skull. So that already starts like with that. But that's basically as gothic as it gets.
Oh, well, then you oversold that.
You still get the. It's about the British rat.
There's that mouse couple or whatever.
Well, no, it's like it's part of it, and it's like it's there, but it's like that's as like it's there throughout the whole movie. It's just not. It doesn't grow from there in terms of its gothic, not like the Black Cauldron, which is a gothic story.
Well, yeah.
But it's got a little bit. It's more just like it's dark. Twisted.
It's like gritty. It takes place like in a.
Woman.
It starts out in like a scuzzy like city area, and then it goes into like this creepy mines. And they're on a boat, are they not?
Is that what it's in a swamp. You got the two crocodiles that look like the crocodile from Peter Pan. And it was just during the 70s where it was kind of like they're just trying shit and some of it sticks, some of it doesn't. You guys kind
of
looked.
The type of shit.
Wait a minute. Do you guys not know about the time that the topless woman in The Rescuers?
Uh-uh. Yeah, it's like a single frame. It goes by really fast.
Yeah, in the.
Oh, it's one of those.
Yeah, in the VHS release, somebody put in a frame of a legit topless woman as they're flying by skyscrapers. Oh,
nice. Well, there's always that hidden stuff, right? There's like and Little Mermaid.
No, but Disney did not approve that.
Well, no, I know. Yeah. Well, obviously they didn't approve Little Mermaid either, or the I Love Sex or whatever in, was it Lion King or something?
To be SFX.
Yeah, actually,
that
one's just an urban legend, and the dicks is just them being ignorant. That one was actually somebody going into the film and splicing that in.
But that was the whole legend, was that there was someone who was pissed off at the company or something and did it as like a thing.
Yeah.
And like with the Little Mermaid and things and like other stuff. That's what I had heard.
I'm not sure about the Little Mermaid. Like I know like the priest has like a semi.
Yes, that too.
Right. And then like the VHS covers, they're dry. They're very phallic and all that. But yeah, no, it's just the legendary, yeah, there's like, oh, they cut out a photo from Playboy and put it into a Disney film. It's just like, oh shit. So that's like, you know, if you have an old VHS.
It's like like a Tyler Durden. It's like you don't realize you've seen it.
That's exactly it, actually. There. That's exactly it. Yeah.
Subliminal messages.
Someone got fired.
Yeah.
Oh, no doubt.
Cool, all right, cool. So I guess check out the rescuers if you want to find hidden topless ladies, and check out Atlantis for other.
Clothes ladies.
Reasons.
Topless ladies?
Yeah.
Clothes ladies and treasure and booty. Lots of booty.
There was booty.
There's plenty of booty.
True. Yeah, there's lots of booty at the end.
Not quite to the degree of Thanos' booty, but...
No, certainly not. Different type of booty.
Yeah, there were different kinds of booty in there. There were multiple kinds of booty.
Yes.
There. Yeah. Yes. There was Atlantean booty. Well, they were both Atlantean booty, I guess, in that sense. You know. So, yeah, you got different kinds of Atlantean booty in this movie.
Treasure.
And butts.
Oh, okay.
All right. On that note, I think we should start wrapping it up. Let's do one more quick round around the table. Let's go in the opposite direction this time, just because why not? Jack, final thoughts?
Yeah, as I said, I think this is... I do think it is underrated because it's not talked about at all. Compared to, say, a lot of other underrated Disney films, I think this one is like not talked about at all. But there's reasons why. I think it is a missed opportunity in the grand scheme of things. There are a lot of positives. I don't think there's anything like horrible about this movie, but it's just one of those like this could have been so much more. But what we got, it's, you know, it's passable in terms of a overall Disney film. The strengths are really good. The animation, the voice acting, the comedy, I think all hits really well. But the weak points keeps it from being like, you got to see this. You know, it's more like, yeah, if it's on TV or if you want to watch it with your family, like if you have kids and all that, it's definitely fun to watch and you can just do that. But overall, I think it's good. It is a bit underrated, but I don't think it's like a hidden treasure. Top that shit.
I think you meant hidden.
Oh, are you implying we should have saved you for last?
Hidden booty.
Hidden gem.
Hidden booty.
Hidden Atlantean booty.
Yeah, you could use it. I'm good.
All right. Moving on. Alex, is it underrated?
In the pantheon of Disney films, I do think it's slightly underrated. This is a tough one for me. Because it's not up there with, I don't know, whatever great Disney films are out there, Beauty and the Beast, Aladdin, stuff like that. But it's not so low that it should have been a direct-to-DVD kind of thing. I don't agree with the 49% on Rotten Tomatoes. I think it should be a bit higher. Maybe not as high as Session 9, but it still should be up there a little bit. It's got some good booty shots in it.
Yeah.
And the score is really up there. I mean, James Newton Howard, when you hire him, you're hiring one of the greats.
Yeah.
And the score is up there as if it were a high-budget action-adventure movie. That and the voice acting helped to bring the movie up. And as we had said, the plot may be a bit basic, but I don't think it's a movie that you should...
Dismiss?
Yeah, you shouldn't dismiss it. Going out of your way, well, if you want. I say if you want to be entertained for an hour and a half, this is a way to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. If it's on TV, absolutely. I think it should be seen.
Yeah, you won't be wasting your time watching this movie.
You know what?
Saying.
I don't think you would waste your time because it's entertaining. It does kind of get... The pace does kind of slow down the closer you get to the heart of Atlantis, but there's a good reason for that because then it helps to bring the film back up near the end.
Yeah.
And that's what you get in movies is waves of pace, and that's what you want.
Yeah.
If you want to make it a good, varied film. And I laughed. I was entertained all the way through. So, yeah, I think it's a lost booty call.
Yeah. Lost Booty. Yes. That's a good title change. Yeah. I like that.
Did I top that?
Atlanta, the Lost Booty Call.
Oh, that sounds like it could be a title. Shit.
There you go.
Isn't Atlanta known for its like strip clubs or something?
It is, yeah. It's yeah. the most
like
strip
it's
clubs.
Like yeah. Yeah, no, it's they're famous for their strip clubs.
Yeah.
But I
they're,
don't
they're
think...
apparently like the craziest best places to go or something as far as like they're a good time. Apparently.
Nelly will tell you about that.
Yeah. Because usually strip clubs you think like dingy or whatever, like you go you certain types of people go there, but apparently in like Atlanta, like anybody could go to a strip club. Yeah. It's like
even kids.
And kids too, yeah. Children, small children. I mean, I think you they. Kids they day. I think the bouncers let as long as you're over 10, they let you in. Wow,
how far
we asked for double digits. Yes.
Yeah, once you hit those double digits, you're good to go.
And that's how the city sinks, right there. Is
that's right.
Yeah.
I guess they're just like, oh, they're gonna. The gods they're are gonna like, learn eventually,
oh,
anyway.
So. Yeah, sink them.
Yeah.
And that's where we draw the line.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah. So I also like this movie. I thought it was pretty good. Good Disney movie. Yeah. Underrated considering it, Rotten Tomatoes score, I suppose. And, yeah, it's entertaining. If you want to be entertained, watch it. It should at least be fresh in my mind. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, if you want a good time with good voice acting, good characters, and a good chuckle, I think, yeah, check it out. If it's on, like, if you saw it on Disney Plus, if you see it on Disney Plus when that comes out, because it'll definitely be in there somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just fuck it. Watch it. Yeah, I mean, you've seen all the other shit. You've seen all the classics. Might as well watch something new. Mm-hmm. There you go. I'm done.
Nothing but booty before you sign
up. Oh, shit. Yeah. Booty, 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 booty. There you go.
Well, that was clever. So, so Atlantis. So if you like swimming, if you like dynamite, you like riding something sporty like a tuna.
Actually, like... no, I have something.
Oh, okay.
Now we were talking about strip clubs, right? So, yeah. So you know what? I'm sure that there's a stripper named Spontaneous Bootay.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. That's right. There, if there were a stripper with that name, it would be in Atlanta.
Fuck, she was hard to get by.
Spontaneous Bootay.
I've actually seen that part. The only thing I've seen in the game.
Amazing. I've seen a lot of that because, yeah, it's fucking hard to get by.
He's welcome Esmeralda. I just want to fucking work in a strip club and do that. That's what I want to do.
You want to be the DJ?
Dude, that would...
MC?
I'd find fulfillment in my work if I did that, honestly. Come on. You would enjoy yourself all day just doing that shit?
Give it up for Esmeralda.
Esmeralda. I would fuck it. That's great. I don't even need to be drunk to do that. That would be amazing. Yeah. So now we
just
know my
drunk
life.
On the sheer joy of performing such an important role.
Yeah, it is important. All right, sets the stage. All right,
we know.
So now that we know my life's ambitions, Zach, you can continue.
Atlantis is the lost booty of my booty. Go see it.
Oh, that was so much better.
Yeah, I'm sticking with that one.
Sure.
I think that's
all right.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah, good movie. Go see it. Take the kids, take the grandkids, take all the kids. Go see it. Go watch it any time of day. Maybe go swimming, watch Atlantis under the water. Make sure you have a waterproof TV. Yeah, go see it.
That would help. Otherwise, it'd be pretty short viewing.
Yeah, it'd be really quick.
Just
done
get one of them waterproof phones and get Disney Plus. You're good to go.
Yeah, then you can go explore Atlantis.
We're sponsored by Disney
Plus. The show
is
not sponsored by Disney Plus.
Disney minus.
See The Mandalorian this fall.
Yeah.
Next on I Graduated High School for This, Andrew.
Oh boy. Okay. Yeah, so I suppose that about brings us to the end of our show. Seems like we're all pretty much on the same page here, which is kind of cool. The movie is it's fun. It's enjoyable. It could have been better. Like it has a lot of potential that wasn't necessarily fully utilized, but it's still a lot of fun. It's a good time. It's worth checking out, especially because no one ever really talks about it. But who knows? Maybe Disney Plus will give it that big resurgence that
Sponsored by Disney Plus.
No, but all right. I don't have a really a. I feel like I need to continue this booty trend now because it's been a thing.
Yeah, sure.
I don't know. I don't really. I'm trying to think. I don't really have anything. And then maybe then.
Do you have a booty?
I am the owner of one. Yes.
Then I think you're more than qualified to continue this.
All right. Well, we're at the bottom of this episode. Let's. All right. Now we're gonna go spoil endgame for Andrew.